Well, just I'll start tonight. We're going to be speaking about Emunabad, and I want to talk about how a person should deal with being in places of potential danger. I think it's very important to speak about the difference between Emunah and Ishtadlis and these types of things. As many of you might know, maybe all of you know by now, I am presently in the United States of America. I landed this morning, and I've come here on a mission. It's definitely a challenge. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. It's a challenge to be in this country. It's a whole different climate. So, I got my clap there for Maggie. It's different. The people are, I mean, first of all, there's no question that the virus has affected America much, much worse than it has Eretz Yisrael. I barely know anyone in Eretz Yisrael that's been hospitalized. I don't know anyone in Eretz Yisrael that's been hospitalized. And quite a few people here, and quite a few even tragedies. But I mean, obviously, the people I know more people in America than Eretz Yisrael. But still, the whole vibe in Eretz Yisrael, the feeling in Eretz Yisrael, people, you know, they're already starting to move out of it. And I come here, and you could sense the anxiousness, the anxiety that people have. And the concern. And I've come here. I think you all know why I'm here. I'm here because we're trying to secure a location for the yeshiva eventually. I don't know when that's going to be, if that's going to be, what that's going to be. But but my absolutely phenomenal, exceptional Eishes Chayil told me that you know if this is what we have to do, so then we're going to do that. You go to America. I'll hold down the fort. Which he's doing there, which we have the home yeshiva, which has 10 bachrim in Eretz Yisrael, which is literally in my house. And now I'm here trying to see what we can set up for the Talmidim that are in America. So now I want you to understand that I'm not just doing this like I'm just jumping in the fire as if I'm, you know, invincible. That a lot of thought went into it and also a lot of caution. I flew on a plane. There were no other passengers on the plane. In order to avoid any type of exposure, I drove in a car. I sat two rows behind the driver. I'm in a house now alone. It's around the corner from my parents, but I'm not going to expose my parents to myself, and I'll not expose myself to anyone else. So I'm here in a house by myself. I got one room, which is going to be my base medrash room, and the other room is going to be my bedroom, and I'm going to just set up shop here until we're ready to hopefully do something on a larger scale. But in the meantime, we're still working from a distance. And with Siyata Dishmaya, we're going to get there. So now, I want you to understand that we speak about Emunah. We always speak about Hakol Bidei Shamayim. Everything is in Hashem's hands. So a person can kind of run away with that, with their Emunah, and say, okay, nothing to worry about if Hashem wants, you know. I remember when I was... When I was in Eretz Yisrael, it was the time of the Gulf War. Now, it's hard for me to describe. Sorry, I'm a little tired. As I mentioned, I got this morning. It's hard for me to describe how nervous people were by the Gulf War. I don't think you could fully understand because no one really knew. I'm going to try to see if I can change it. It's a little better lighting. No one really knew what Saddam Hussein had and what he was planning. And his threat was this is going to be the mother of all wars. Now, mother of all wars, that's a pretty big statement when you think about like World War II, World War I. Those are pretty big wars. And he's saying this is going to be the mother of all. And people took him seriously. No one really knew what was going to happen. Being in Israel was like being a lame duck because Israel did not have any type of anti-aircraft, anti-missile. And Saddam Hussein was threatening chemical warfare. Who knows what was going to happen? Anyway, a lot of the Americans that were there went to America, left the country, went to America to be in a safer place. And there was one young lady, I don't know who she was, I don't know her name, I don't know anything about her, but she went to America and something really bizarre happened. She had a Misa Mishuna in America, a young girl, a seminary girl. This massive window plane somehow dislodged from the frame, fell on her and killed her. Like this crazy, weird story. I was a bachur at that time, and what people were saying was she left Eretz Yisrael because she thought Eretz Yisrael was dangerous, and here she went to America. And if Hashem wants, if your time's up, your time's up. So Hashem wants to take you, he's going to take you. And that is a true fact. If your time's up, your time's up. But a person cannot challenge his fate or take these type of gambles, because a person who puts himself in a makom sakana, now that is something which is, he's kind of like testing his fate. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we have to establish, my friend, which is we have to make sure to keep ourselves safe. So a person can't jump into the line of fire and say, oh, if Hashem wants me, you know, me to die, I'm going to die. It doesn't work that way. We have to take the appropriate precautions. And the same thing comes when it comes as far as davening with minyanim. Now, it's very, very tricky. And I've spoken about porch minyanim. This is not the forum for it right now. But if a person's in a situation where there's a real sakana for him to just say, okay, I'm going to daven and he's going to be okay. So that's not emunah. That's just being foolish. So we have to know how to balance our emunah and our ishtablus. Now, what I want to speak about, what I'm telling you is that no one should think that my journey here to the States was just because, you know, I'm brushing off any type of medical danger or any type of precaution. I'm trying to be as precautious as possible. One of my closest Talmidim called me today, says he wants to get together. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not in a position to do that right now. I'm not ready to do that. Maybe from a distance, but we might as well speak on the phone. And Beis Hashem, hopefully this will be over soon. But I am trying to find a way that we can safely, responsibly be able to be in an environment that is conducive for us to continue shtaying. So I want to share with you, my friends, a thought on this week's parasha that's really, really very powerful about emunah. It's about the issur of taking revenge. Fascinating. The pasuk says a person shouldn't take revenge. Lo sikoyim v'lo sitar es b'nei amecha. Don't take revenge. What is the inyan of there being an issur taking revenge? So the Rishonim already tell us. The pshat is as follows. Very important. The Rishonim say the reason why you can't take revenge is because a person has to realize that there is nothing that any other human being can do to you that was not the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person harbors a grudge against a person that did something to him, and he wants to take revenge from him, he is losing sight. This is very important. He is losing sight of the fact that all this was divinely ordained. Everything was really from Shemayim. And the Isra of Nakama, the Chinuch, and others say, is in order for us to keep focus on the fact that why did this happen to me? Because Hashem wanted it to happen to me. We have to keep that focus. So therefore, I have an issue of taking revenge. Now, just to be clear, my friends, just because nothing that anyone can do, no human being can touch another human being without Hashem's will, does not mean that I am then going to be absolved of my guilt or my responsibility, obviously. I can't walk over to someone, slap them in the face and say, if Hashem didn't want that to happen, it wouldn't happen. I can't do that. Because I was still given the free will and the choice to be the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that decision that I made was a poor decision. And that makes me a bad person. The one who did it, a bad person. However, the bad person doesn't mean that that's someone that I should hold a grudge against. I'll give you the following mashal. You guys with me? Shmuel, you with me? Give Aldik. This is my mashal. Let's say you're walking down the street and someone walks over and pushes you down. And he knocks you up, you're holding a whole bunch of groceries. Now that's a bad person. Should you hold a grudge against that person? No. Should you like that person? Not necessarily. So how do you differentiate between the two of them? You have to kind of take yourself out of the equation. Let's say I'm walking down the street and I'm standing next to someone who's carrying a bunch of packages. And someone comes and knocks that person over. Now, I might be upset. I might even not like that person. Might get angry at him. But it's not a grudge anymore because it's not about me. So when something happens to you, every person has to realize what happened to me was meant to happen. Now, does that make that person a good person that did it? No, they're not a good person. Do I have to like them for it? No, I don't have to like them for it. But it can't be personal. I have to realize that what happened to me, revenge is you did that to me, I'm going to do that back to you. That you can't have. A person is not supposed to take revenge. And that's the reason. We have to internalize and realize that everything that happens to us happens because Hashem willed it to happen. So now, my friends, I want to share with you a fascinating question I just thought of as I was preparing for the shmooze. I think it's a great question. I'm sure someone speaks about it. Because Chazal say the following thing. It's a Gemara in Yuma. Amar Rav Yochanan kol Talmid Chacham she'eino noikim v'noiter kinachash eino Talmid Chacham. Any Talmid Chacham that doesn't take revenge like a snake is not a Talmid Chacham. Although we said you're not allowed to take revenge. So says the Yaris Dvash, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, and maybe he's going to answer this question because I didn't see the entire thing inside. What does it mean Eino doesn't take revenge like a snake, like a nachash? Says the Heilige Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz and Yaris Dvash. Chazal tells us that a snake does not really enjoy when he bites someone. He doesn't have hanah from biting. So what is the Chazal saying? Any Talmud it's not noikim v'noitim kinochash. Any Talmud doesn't take revenge like a snake. What it means to say is a person has to stand up for Kavod HaTorah, but not because of its personal, not because he enjoys taking revenge. I'll show him who's boss and stand up kilu like he's. Not because he's getting anything out of it. Talmud Chacham has to be above, you know, getting involved in mudslinging and like, you know, getting, feeling like the pleasure of putting the other guy down. No, 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 no. Talmud Chacham has to be like a nachash, which is, he has to do it, but not because he enjoys it. This is perhaps the pshat. It's brought down from one of the Talmidim, the Chassam Sofer, Moshe Aryeh Leib Rosenblum. And he says, this is the pshat, and what happened. Parshas Chukas, it's fascinating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you should make a saraf for Simo to Israel Nes. You should make a serpent. You should put the serpent on like a stick and like, should put it up high. And it says the Pasuk, Vayas Moshe Nechash Nechoshes. So Moshe made a snake. He didn't make a serpent. Why is that? Hashem told him to do one thing, he did something else. So the Mishnah in this Perek Beis in Avos tells us that Talmud Chacham, that if a person he insults a Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chacham's bite is like a nachash, saraf. Let me see. Hold on a second. Oh wow, am I tired, my friends? It's been a long day. Here it is. L'chishasam l'chishas sarf. Yep. But Moshe Rabbeinu said they should do it, they put up a nachash. The idea is, Klal Yisrael spoke against Hashem and against Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to take revenge that he was going to, this magefa that was coming. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, this is not something that's like a saraf. It's like a nachash. There's absolutely no enjoyment in this. It's all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make a point. And the same thing is true with our magefa, that we're going through a magefa, my friends. It's a magefa of a nachash, which means that Hashem doesn't enjoy having this magefa. He just wants us to understand. He wants us to get the point. And we have to make a change in our lifestyle. The answer to the magefa is not social distancing. The answer to the magefa is not that we should isolate and put ourselves in isolation. These are not the answers to the Magefa. To not do these things would be foolish. But we have to understand, we have to make a change in our lifestyle, because that's what this is really about. It's really about Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to get the message. And every person has to dig deep in down inside. And we have to try to like make a significant change. The world is going to become a different place. It seems to be, many people are talking about the world is going to become a different place. There's like, it's going to be a new normal, a new world order. So we have to make ourselves also, it has to be a significant change. Something like that, you know, a lot of us are running away from the hardest thing for us to do. Different people have different things, whatever it might be. Some people, they're great at learning, davening is hard for them. Some people are great at davening, learning is hard for them. Some people, they have great midas, but they, you know, their ben adam lamokum is not so good. Some people, you know, they're very good at doing certain things. Taivas is very hard for them. Some people, eating is very hard for them. Some people, the internet is very hard for them. And everyone, they kind of like, it's like there's this one thing that just seems like it's just very hard. I just want to run away from that. That's the one thing which, because that's the core of our challenge of our life. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the thing that's the hardest for you, that is your life's tickling. That's the thing that you have to really fix in order to make a difference. So if Hashem wants us to make a significant change, we have to try to, what I suggest is pick the thing that's the hardest. You now don't go all the way. That would be a little bit too intense. That's a little bit extreme. But pick the thing that's the hardest and take a little step further, a little step closer. Our boys say, we all believe that what came is from Hashem. The same way it came, it can go. Halavai, we should be back in Eretz Yisrael very, very soon. All of us together. But in the event that we won't be, I am trying to secure some sort of location for us. And I'm working feverishly together with a group of very, very faithful volunteers who are helping us to be able to have something, a place where we can continue to grow and work on ourselves. But in the meantime, we have to do it now from the distance from where we are. And Beis Hashem, with Ziyata Dishmaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to help figure out how to mute everyone. There we go. My friends, with Ziyata Dishmaya, we'll be Zoicha Bikarov to see Yeshuas and Refuas. We'll be Zoicha to Mashiach Tzidkenu, to Trias HaMesim. We're going to be Zoicha to a tremendous Gilui of Or. We're going to be Zoicha, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take out the Shemesh. And Menartiko, and he's going to tzaddikim nesrapin boy. We're going to zeichet to more refuas, more yeshuas. We're going to mechazik in davening and beis Hashem bekarav. We're going to be able to sing and dance in the streets of Yerushalayim, Meir Hakodesh. I want to thank all of you for being here.